It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
Hey, would you actually make your six-year-old child pick between her biological dad and her stepdad when it comes to going to one of these daddy-daughter dances?
Who would put their six-year-old child in that spot? You're going to hear later on in the podcast.
Very excited to bring Jeremy onto the show because what we know, and usually the way this works is we get a text message or a DM or maybe even an email, and somebody's like, I got this going on in my life. And our job is usually to go, oh my God, that sounds kind of interesting. Let's see what our listeners think about this. Sometimes people are like, nope, don't want to do it. Just wanted to think what you guys thought or hear what you guys thought. And then we kind of talked Jeremy into coming on the show. So I'm glad that you did, brother. Tell us what's going on here.
All right. My coworker, Jane, she's a nice woman, but I think she might have a crush on me.
Okay. And what leads you to believe that?
Yeah. Why do you say that?
I mean, I'm not on social media that much, but I try to post, you know, my everyday life, you know, going to the store, to the gym, you know, at the mall, you know, get a new outfit. And every time I post, she likes it. I mean, and a comment, too. I don't know if that's a sign or not. But
could this be you reading into it and having kind of a big head?
I mean, it might. But I don't know. I mean, if it was the other way around, you know, a woman would think a guy was liking her.
Yeah, right. I think there's now, here's the big question. Is she in a relationship? Is she single? What's the deal?
Oh, yes, she's married. So that, it makes it even worse. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, yeah.
You're not that guy unless you go through with something. So if you just, like, ignore the fact that some people are a hyper-thumber. That's where you go through and just thumb up everybody's pictures. Maybe it's more than just you she's doing that to. So right now it kind of seems like you're flattering yourself. You don't have any other basis off
I
this.
Think you're onto something here, though. But check this. If it was him, let's say you were single and she was married and you're like in her gym pics, she's thinking that that's a message. And next thing you know, her husband's at your door, right?
Should I say something? So like, because I don't want to mess up anything with my marriage and their marriage. I just want to let it go, but I don't want it to lead into something like bigger.
Right now, she's only liking your pictures. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it has not gone anywhere. She has not said anything to you. She's not made any physical advances. If you just like forget that you see her liking your stuff, it's nothing. This is like, it's nothing.
It could be a gateway. Yeah.
But maybe it's just nothing.
You know what? I had, and hang on a second. I want to get everyone's thoughts on this. I had a friend who is single and somebody I graduated high school with. And she had just posted the other day, too. Hey, if you're a married guy and you're liking all the pictures of me out with my girlfriends, I'm going to be telling your wife. So apparently this happened to her, too.
Really?
Yeah.
What a weird threat. Why does she even care?
I don't know. I don't know. It's different for us. We're public figures, right? So if people like our pictures, I get it, right? You listen to the show and you probably follow us. But if you were just regular Cat, you worked at, you were my wife, you're a finance manager or whatever, and a married guy starts liking all of your pictures when you were on the beach in Mexico, would you think that that's an advancement?
I don't know. I would have to get a vibe for them. He works with her, and maybe she is just, she's one of those people that likes everyone's stuff. Like, I'm very methodical with what I like.
Would you say something to her if you were him?
I don't, maybe make a joke about it. Maybe say, you know, like, I'm going to post something. I know you're going to like it.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Or just like, don't even care about it. This is such a 2024 problem.
I think you said it best when you said this is a big 2024 problem. This is where our world is right now. If you missed Jeremy, he was on with us a couple of seconds ago.
So in a nutshell, he has this girl at work that he has noticed anything and everything that he posts, she will like up, and most of the time she'll comment, and he's starting to feel like maybe she has a thing for him. He is involved with someone already. He doesn't want it to get to the next level. It is like it's so weird to even say out loud. Like, we are grownups and she's liking your stuff. She's not sitting there walking by you, rubbing your back, her perfume on your shirt.
Hold that thought. Sean says, sounds obsessive. This happened to me. The person ended up being in love with me and had an unhealthy obsession.
Okay.
So maybe that's it. Tony, tell everybody what you're telling us.
No one likes his stuff and she sees that. She thinks he's sad and pathetic, and that's why she's doing it.
What a cute angle on this. Very empathetic, sympathetic.
The fact that I'm almost 40 years old, and the fact that a grown man is concerned about a girl liking his photos is sad.
And for how many years do you wish that somebody would have liked your stuff, and now they're doing it, and you're mad about it?
Totally the exact thought I have. It's like, this is where your mind's at all day. She has done nothing. Maybe she's just trying to be nice.
Hey, Jen, thanks for joining the show. Let's get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, so I have to agree with Kat. I think it's just, she's just liking his photos as a coworker.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, like, malicious intent or anything behind it. I think it's just a coworker liking another coworker's photo. You know, if she was obviously commenting something to make him think that way, because he did say that she was commenting, what is the stuff that she is commenting on? And how is she commenting on them?
Yeah, like, is he at a beach and then she's like, wow, what a beautiful beach, where is that? Instead of like, dang, you look fine.
Right.
You know, there's a huge difference.
Exactly. So I just think that he just needs to slow the roll a little bit, needs to step back for a moment and assess the situation before he even approaches it, and then there's coworker drama.
Yep.
You're so logical. What draws you to this kind of a crappy program?
Train wreck.
Well, just because I've been in so many different coworker types of situations where there's drama at work, and I just feel like that is so unnecessary. So if he really has a problem with it, obviously, like, take her aside and tell her and just say, hey, maybe let's not bring this up at work. But I can see that being a situation where she might even go and say, hey, he's being so weird and he's stalking me, but I'm just liking his stuff.
I got a question. Going back to you saying that you've been in a lot of coworker drama, is it one of those things, like, what's the common denominator here?
Oh.
Or are you just involved?
Jennifer, she's saying you're very dramatic.
No, I'm just asking, like, why are you in the middle of all this drama?
So I've had situations where I've been in the middle of it, where someone has liked my stuff, commented on my stuff, and, you know, it was nothing, but I thought it was something.
Okay.
And then I ended up in that situation where I confronted them about that, and then it turned bad.
Okay.
Is this like bad, like you had to leave the job bad?
Not like I had to leave the job bad, but to where we couldn't be friends anymore.
Wow.
All right.
Because I thought it was something completely different.
Are you admitting fault here? I've never heard a woman do this before.
I am.
This is a first.
Stop it. Hang up.
You're killing the race.
Don't do this, John.
Hey, thanks, Jen. We appreciate you being on the show. I'm really grateful. Your honesty is refreshing. Tomorrow, a very special show as Psychic Kim will be here at about 7:30.
I cannot wait for that. Come with one question. What is one question that you would want her to answer for you? Because normally we don't take advantage of that because we have so many people on the line that we want to cycle through. We don't want to waste her time.
I would do this. I would say my question would be, so my son is currently in Mexico during his senior spring break, and he'll graduate here in May from St. John's. I would ask, is he going to get a job that he really purely loves, or is this going to be a stepping stone when he gets his first gig out of college? That's what
be very rare to get your number one preferred job straight out the gate. I mean, it's a dream.
I guess I'm not saying number one preferred, but just something that's going to be very, very, something he loves. Like, okay. I don't think it's too much to ask to find a job you love, but I'm assuming that at a certain point, you're not going to want to live at home with mom and dad anymore, and you're going to want to use your degree.
Yeah.
And I would love for him, and that's, I think most people look at their kids and you just want them to be happy. So I would, especially if he's going to move away, right? Like if he's going to move to New York or Miami or LA or something like that, I don't want him to move and then be like, well, this job sucks. So that would be the question I'd ask, is be like, is this going to be something he loves, or is it just going to be a stepping stone? Because then I'd like to know so I can give him the heads up. How about you?
I would like to ask if Derek's ever going to come around to living where I want to live. And I feel like I don't want it to come to a crossroads, but I don't think he knows how serious I truly am about it. Like, it would make me really happy, and he's being kind of bullheaded about it. And I mean, why? I wouldn't ever put him in a position where he would hate where he lives.
You guys have been married, you know, how long?
13 years.
You don't already know the answer to this?
12 years.
I can tell you the answer to this. I'm not psychic.
That he won't change.
He's never going to change his ways.
Yeah.
That guy's stuck that way. That's the guy you married.
I know. But
maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to be a little more adaptable.
All I do is adapt. That's it. They call me adaptable cat on the street. All she does is adapt. So, I don't know.
Think about
not
your
that
question.
I'm unhappy. I'm not unhappy
you
at all.
Unhappy.
I have a great house. I'm not house poor, which would be like a nightmare, but I would like to, I want to be on water, you know? So.
You can purge your soul tomorrow at 7:30 with us with Psychic Kim.
Up in the Playhouse, KCLT.
You know what today also is? It's not just Dunk Your Oreo Day, but it's National Dentist Day.
Is it?
Yeah, you want to give a shout out to your dentist?
I would like to give a shout out to Dr. Dargish. Normal size fingers, I appreciate that, but a few less questions while those fingers are in my mouth would be appreciated.
My dentist makes me laugh so much, so shout out to Dr. Lane.
Yeah.
And she's amazing, and what's really, really odd is we've been kind of family friends for a long, long time. And then you would expect when I go in there for it to be a professional situation.
Yeah.
Not even close. Nah. I mean, she does good work, and I'm grateful that she takes care of my mouth.
Yeah.
But I end up leaving with my cheeks hurting because I smile so much. Because when somebody's got their hands in your mouth
yeah.
and they're telling you something funny, you can only go,
ain't that the truth?
Right. Okay.
CNN's Jake Tapper, though, he got down to the nitty-gritty interviewing Nikki Haley yesterday, but had a little Freudian slip
there. Colorado Supreme Court, of course, wasn't saying, their official explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection.
Oh.
And I have to, an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
So, I get up every day early, and I don't say boner jokes.
Actually, you do, almost every day.
I actually do. I have a quota to meet.
Who doesn't run this at least the rest of the week?
The Colorado Supreme Court, of course, wasn't saying, their official explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection.
Man, why is it such a sterile word? It's a nerdy word. Like, I like the word boner. I think it's
okay,
funny.
Right.
What's trending?
So think of something that you would want to own. Out of any movie that you've seen, you thought it was really cool, or you just want to own it. This unknown bidder at this point paid $82,000 for the vintage diner booth. So Derek just got done watching The Sopranos.
Just now?
He binged it. Yeah, he never watched an episode.
No.
He's like, I'm going to get on board with this show. He was addicted. He'd fold clothes watching it. He wouldn't blink. But it was in that final scene.
It's where actor James Gandolfini's mob boss character ordered onion rings for his family in the show's final episode. Moments later,
he gets capped.
That scene cut to black, leaving fans to debate whether Tony got whacked.
Of course he got whacked.
So obviously somebody owning a piece of Cinemagic history. What would you want from a movie?
All right, I was thinking about two things.
Okay.
Number one, Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, the actual one that was moved. Otherwise, a lot of people know my favorite movie is The Color of Money. It's Paul Newman and Tom Cruise, and it's all about pool hustling. There's a specific cue stick. It's called the Balabushka.
Yeah.
And they're all collector's items if you have an original one right now, but they have a really, really cool one in that movie.
Uh-huh.
I would pay, if it came up in auction and I knew I could get it, I'd pay $20,000 for it.
For a Balabushka
cue stick.
Oh. I would own, I don't know if you've seen the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days with Kate Hudson,
yeah.
That yellow dress, that silk yellow dress that like stuns him when she walks. Of course, I need to have that body too, because silk shows a thing. You'll see my C-section scar in that thing.
Do you remember puking in elementary school?
I did not ever puke at elementary school.
Okay. I was under a friend, and I don't know why, but I was thinking about this morning on the way in. I had a kid puke down the back of my shirt in elementary school, and it made about two or three other kids puke. And I remember I was maybe in kindergarten or first grade, and I was the VIP. That means like your birthday week, you get to lead all the lines.
Very important puker.
Yeah, right. But I was in the front of the line, and I puked all over Miss Lane.
No.
Yeah, I didn't even feel sick.
Yeah.
I think I was just, like, that might have been the first time anyone even recognized me in my life, where I was like, important?
Yeah.
And I was in the front of the line and we were getting ready to go out for recess.
Couldn't handle the pressure.
I remember stocking cap, gloves, boots, everything on. I had these big mittens that my grandma crocheted.
Yeah.
And and I remember just standing there and going, bleh, and I puked all over. And
was
she
it
had,
because you were too hot or like?
I think I was just nervous. It was, like I said, it was the first time anyone had ever paid attention to me. They're like, you're the VIP. You get to lead the line. So it's me and like 18 kids behind me ready to go out for recess. And I just threw up all over her. And so I threw that up on the KCLD Facebook page this morning. If you puked in elementary school, I am willing to bet, for me, it's a core memory. I remember exactly what she was wearing.
Yeah.
Floral dress, little shoes, puked all over her feet. It was,
oh,
and it was a projectile,
God,
too. It wasn't like...
I've only seen one person puke at school, and it was in my math class, and it was Eric Plutton, and it was spaghetti day. And the poor kid, I don't know what was going on, puked all over his desk, all over the back of some girl.
And most of
bad.
This happens because as and you didn't realize it, but now as a parent, you send your kid to school no matter what.
I know.
Especially if both of you are
you're
working.
You're fine. You're fine. You're going.
Yep. We'll give you most of tomorrow morning to figure out what you're going to spend $4,000 on when you win it at 8:40 tomorrow morning, Thursday, during the live show. Right now, let's wrap up the podcast.
All right, so we will get to Angel's email right now, which came in early this morning, and when stuff like that is sent us at that time, you can only think that maybe it's weighing on her mind a little bit. So she said that her 6-year-old daughter has a daddy-daughter dance coming up in a few weeks, and she has a real father and she has a stepfather. And she says that she can only choose one father to go with.
Ooh.
Why? Why?
What?
You buy tickets. That's weird to me. You don't have to make her choose. But then she says that both fathers are acting like politicians, lobbying for votes, doing random things, not in her face with you better make a choice, but giving treats here, gifts here. My daughter is confused, doesn't know which father to pick. I'm too confused. Should I make the choice for her or her allow her to make the choice on her own? I'm not sure what to do. What would you do if you're in my position? 6 years old. This is heavy stuff to even think about. I love the wedding videos where the woman will have dad and stepdad walk her down the aisle.
That's cool.
Two very influential men that help mold a female should be recognized. They should not be battling. You guys should be a team.
I think it's kind of funny.
Raising a kid, you have to be a team or they will take you down. Kids will smell that.
Don't you think almost guaranteed when she goes to dad's place, he's undermining stepdad every chance he gets?
So I have a friend that's going through this right now. Most definitely, they are being swayed at dad's house. And I know for a fact that my friend does not say, she doesn't even say ill things about him to me. So I can only imagine that this child, and that's really bad to play head games with kids, especially a 6-year-old girl.
Oh, they're so easy to manipulate, though. It's really, really easy to do.
Yeah, it's, you almost
I would do it all
said
the time.
Fun right there. And
it
that
probably
was
would be a little bit.
I am one, Angel, glad I am not in this position, but two, she should not be in this situation. You need to pick for her or talk to both the dads.
Pick which
and say,
one? Which one would you pick?
Just talk to both the dads. Say you guys draw straws and then one of you has to make up a lie that you have to work.
Oh, and now they got to disappoint her?
No, they have to make her feel better by blaming it on their boss and saying, I want to go with you so badly, but my boss won't let me.
It's too late. They've already been lobbying for affection.
Stuff happens. Work hours.
So you're saying flip a coin.
Yes. And you lie to this child and you make her feel as good as possible.
You can't lie to a little kid.
She's a 6-year-old girl. You're going to make her feel like she has to choose between two grown men.
Yeah, it's adult decision time.
That is, oh, shut up. You would never, ever, how would you handle this? You are divorced from Trish and you're the father of Reagan back in the day. And it's the daddy-daughter dance that you did with her for her dance group.
I would just beat the stepfather up and take her.
So
I would hospitalize him, and then he wouldn't be able to go. Okay. I'd break his legs.
Okay. Glad to have you here today. Thank you.
I'm just telling you what I would do.
All right. Angel had sent it to us this morning about her 6-year-old daughter who has a daddy-daughter dance coming up in a few weeks. And the choice has to be made. Should she go with the real father or the stepfather? She can only choose one to go with, which I still think is super odd, but both fathers are acting like politicians lobbying for her votes. And she thinks, hey, should I just make the choice for her? Should I allow her to make this choice and go with who she wants? odds are 6 years old. If she has a great relationship with both, she wants both to go. So I would not make her choose. I'm sad she's in this position, period, because she's too young to make this choice.
Kathy, first thoughts on this?
Honestly, in my head, think that the dad should go.
The biological dad.
The biological father.
Yeah, because that's her dad, and she will always remember that you made that a priority for her to have time with.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, I like that. Nina, I know you've been holding for a long, long time. I want to get your thoughts on this. What would you do here?
To me, it's a no-brainer. She should go with her biological father.
Why?
Okay.
Because fathers, that's like, you know, I mean, they're important. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love my stepfather. But it's kind of like a placeholder when you don't have the real thing, and she's got the real thing.
Man, that's a big word to use. And that's how you feel about your stepdad, that he just kind of came in, played this little role, but you really looked at your dad as like the end all be all.
He's played a big role.
Okay.
But he's not father.
No, all right. I'm getting that. We're getting a lot of that. If we had to go one side or the other, most people are saying biological father should be part of this.
I don't know. I've just never been a huge believer that a biological father is entitled to anything. You got to work for it. You know, like if you are in and out every once in a while, you go to a sporting event or a play, and then you got the stepdad doing a ton of work every single night because he lives with the child. I don't believe that. I don't believe fathers are entitled to certain things, you know, like fathers, absent fathers is what I'm saying.
What if this was switched up? And what if she's living with dad and stepmom, but it's a mommy daughter thing?
Okay.
Would you feel different about the birth mother not being entitled more than the stepmother?
I don't know Angel's situation. I'm saying, if it were the same in my head switched around and the mom is flippant and barely in the picture, then yeah, stepmom should be there. Stepmom's getting her up, getting her ready, showered, bathed, fed.
Interesting. Thoughts on this? Definitely text us, will you?
So we redid Liam's room, got the new artwork up.
And what is the artwork again?
The artwork, did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you saw it. It took me too long to level and hang. Dang it, I deleted it. So I got 6 canvas photos, 8x10s. Okay. And then I got this thing, this ring that comes out of the wall that you put a ball on.
Oh, right.
Basketball. So it looks like a floating basketball. Yeah. So I did that to the one wall.
And are they all pictures of him playing?
No.
Okay.
They're just different photos of basketball in motion, whatever. And then I redid his closet, took out all the clothes that didn't fit him, and had to get new hangers. So we have now migrated from baby hangers, the little ones, to grown-up hangers. Makes me
sad. That was a trip for you?
Well, I mean, it's another milestone that makes you think, I don't need baby hangers anymore. His neck is getting large. You know, his body is getting bigger, and he doesn't need that. So got rid of all those. Went to Walmart yesterday and got some bigger hangers. And then I pick him up from school, and the kid brought out, no joke, 17 sweatshirts from his locker, 4 pair of shorts, 6 t-shirts. I didn't even know. Wasn't expecting all of that. But I remember back when I had a locker. So we had a designated clothes locker in middle school. So my friend Alana and I shared a locker. And then we had my locker that we would put all of our clothes in. So I'm like, this is his version of that. Did you have girls in your school that would come to school in one outfit and change into another?
I never remember that, man.
Like skimpy
skirts? Came from a simpler time.
Really?
I think that's a small town thing where I don't think people are really changing outfits too much, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I was in Anoka. We were pretty large student body. But I was like, yeah, I wore like sweatpants to school and I change into these hip hugger jeans that showed my hip bones.
My youngest is a sophomore and he doesn't even have a locker.
They don't have a locker?
Well, I think he has maybe an assigned locker, but he's never used it. I don't think he doesn't even know the combination to it.
Oh, the problem.
Everything's a backpack.
Just forgot. Oh.
And then the other thing they do, well, then they have the sports lockers.
Yeah.
So I think he uses that for, you know, anytime that's pre-baseball, pre-hockey or whatever. But I don't think he's ever opened a locker this year. Maybe even last year, too. Everything's in a backpack.
Wow.
It's very weird.
Yeah. So got all that together, and now I have a huge load to bring to Once Upon a Child to make some moolah. You know, I always make like $17.
I was going
to
say, what are you going to cash in on? So it's about, if you're happy if you walk out with a $20 bill?
I guess so. I don't know. But then I use it to get them like some more dry fit t-shirts and stuff like that.
The cool part is, though, somebody's going to get a good deal on that down the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a, I think it's a noble gesture instead of having to buy everything new, especially if you have kids, because they go through it so fast. And not only do they grow out of it, but then when they're, you know, if they're in sports or they're just outside playing, I mean, they burn through that stuff so fast.
But now we're like looking for a few key items that he got from Christmas. Like it got lost somewhere, you know, he didn't, I don't know if he left it at a friend's house or whatever. So I'm going to go back into the lost and found at his school. I'm not going to be myself in there where I grab stuff and I'm like, oh, there it is. There it is, but it's not mine.
You ever done that where you go in for a conference when your kids were littler, and then they, at least at my kids' school, they would lay out about 5 or 6 folding tables?
Yes.
And there would be mittens, hats, gloves, shirts, a boot,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. And as you're walking by, you scan it, and immediately you go, hey, that's my kid's stuff. And you grab your kid real quick, and you go, hey, did you lose a hat?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. There it is.
There it
That's
is.
That's happened to me 100 times walking my kids through their elementary school like meetings when you have to meet with the teacher.
Yeah.
All the time. Or did you ever look at something on there and go, you need new gloves? Let's grab you a pair.
I'm not too proud
you
of it.
You have.
Liam will not let me lie. Liam is not a liar. I love that about him. And there have been too many times that I'm like, hey, look at that Carhartt hat. Hey, look at that. And there were some Stanleys there the other day.
Oh.
I'm like, why are these Stanleys still here? Why wouldn't you walk by and say, oh, there it is?
That happens
That's mine.
To us all the time. So when we play our home football games at St. John's, we'll prep with the team inside the field house.
Yeah.
And there's always a box of like water bottles that have been left behind because people were working out and they just walked away or whatever. I'm like, and there are some really nice ones in there, too, like the insulated bottles.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, who doesn't just grab one of these on their way out?
Just take them.
We were chit-chatting about people, and I'm trying to remember how this even came up, but, Taylor Swift. We found out that Taylor Swift is the distant relative to...
Who was it?
What was it? Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, that's it.
And realizing that she has used even some Emily Dickinson inspiration in her music. So as we were talking about that, a lot of calls kept coming in about, and we had people like, oh, I'm related to the mayor. Oh, I'm related to the guy on TV. But I was like, oh, my God, I'm really looking for really distant, amazing relatives. These are the two calls we couldn't get on the air yesterday. I wanted to make sure we talked about them. First, Katie called to tell us about her distant relative.
So this is related by marriage, but I still consider it related. My aunt's uncle is the man who carved Mount Rushmore.
Your aunt's uncle carved all those faces into Mount Rushmore.
Yep. My aunt's name was Grace Borglum. That was her maiden name. And her uncle, Goodsome Borglum, was the man who carved Mount Rushmore.
Now, I was under the impression there was like a team of guys hanging from ropes carving this over the course of years.
Well, he was the one who was the originator, I believe,
okay.
Did the majority of it. And then either his son or his nephew, other family members continued on.
Gotcha.
After he was no longer able to do it. But, yeah, that was always my go-to story at the beginning of every elementary school year, where they would kind of walk around and say something you had to say that was interesting about yourself. It was always a cool one.
Well, nobody's going to prove you wrong. Did they ever ask if you have anything else super underwhelming in your family going on?
No, you know, I kind of got some jaw drops about that one, and that was just kind of... Yeah, that was the fun story to go.
Tell me you've at least been to Mount Rushmore to see his work.
You know what? I am so ashamed to say that I haven't.
Oh my God!
You haven't. Your dead great uncle guy is he's rolling over in his grave.
I know.
And then I got this call from Carlita.
You were asking about people who are related to someone even distantly.
Yeah, do you have a distant famous relative?
Yes. Robert Johnson, who owned BET.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So how are you related to him then?
On my mother's side, I was doing my ancestry thing and I was looking for my grandfather's burial, and it kept linking me to a name, which was his sister's name, and I kept saying, I wonder why it has this. And then her number popped up, so I called her. And I said, every time I try to find my grandfather's stuff, your name pops up. And she said, no, a lot of people want to be related to us, but unfortunately, you're most likely not. I've never heard of you. And I said, okay. And I said, my grandfather's name was, you know, Hardy Salters. And she said, no, you can't be. And then she said, because Hardy would be too old to be your grandfather. So I'm like, okay. So then she said, who is your mother? And I told her. So she goes back and Googles it, calls me back screaming. And I'm like, hello? And she said, yeah, you are my cousin. So I'm like, okay. And I said, why did you think I wasn't? She said, well, do you know who I am? And I said, no. She said, do you know Robert Johnson? I said, no. Who is it? She said, have you ever watched BET? I said, yeah. She said, my brother is the owner and founder of BET.
Oh, my God. Said,
are you kidding me? And then she said, yes. And she said, we found you.
Wow. That's what an amazing crazy story.
That is nuts.
Yeah, it made me feel good, but it didn't make me any richer.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to go, do you get a piece of this at all? And you're like, right away, no, I was disappointed.
No, I found out, though, that they were, our family started the Meals on Wheels. And, you know, that was like, wow. I never knew that.
That's a lot to live up to. That's a lot of pressure.
It is, and I definitely can't do it.
Get out with LPP. Can you help me? Get out with LPP. Can you help me? Get out with LPP. Can you help me? Get out with LPP. Everybody!
So this went from, we're going to call her Desiree because she gave me her original name. I said her original name. She does not want that on the air, so we'll call her Desiree. She doesn't want to be on anymore. So this is her email that she had originally sent to us. And I'm pulling it up in my email. It says, I'm wondering if there's a solution to this issue. I don't want to completely leave my in-laws out from my kids' sporting events, but they are not listening to my pleas to behave. My husband and I are pretty quiet spectators. We cheer, but we're definitely not considered crazy youth sports parents. When my in-laws come to the games, they are wild. They scream. They say things under their breath about kids' performances, other kids' performances. The last straw was after a game a few weekends ago, my mother-in-law said super loud that she didn't understand why the coach's kid even plays. He's terrible. Everyone heard. I was mortified. She keeps asking when the next game is so she can come watch. He's had six games since then that she didn't know about. How can I stress to her that she can't behave like that anymore than I already have? It gives me such anxiety.
Grandma ain't got no filter.
Desiree, I have anxiety for you because I've had this feeling. I've had to talk to my mom is like the most competitive person on the planet. You know, you don't want to get in her way if Pac-Man is around. It's like, so I've had to, you know, she'll cheer, but then she'll also like, she thinks she's a quiet whisperer and she's not, you know? So I have to say, this is not how we watch sports. Like, just cheer. If you have nothing nice to say, you keep it to yourself until you get in the car. And then you can say it in the car if you want to. But if you've already explained it to your mother-in-law that this is not acceptable behavior, and then they keep coming back, I would be so anxious every single time.
I'm at the point where I just forget to give them the schedule.
See,
when this happens.
I would not want to do that because the more people come to cheer for my kid, the better. But
it seems counterproductive.
It is counterproductive. And it's not doing your child any good either, because he's going to go to school and they're going to be like, your grandma's a crazy lunatic.
Yeah, she's a kook.
Oh, your grandma doesn't think I should play on the team, huh? Because I'm the coach's kid, huh? She doesn't think I'm good. That would give me such anxiety. I always think it's whoever's parents it is, it's their job to talk to them. Like, you are not going to get the schedule if you don't behave. Point blank, period. We will give it to you on a weekly basis. How about you do that? Like a trial weekly basis, Desiree. Like this is the game for Saturday. We're going to try it out. And if you cross over that line at Saturday's game, then you cannot come on Sunday's game or the next weekend.
I'd be interested to see if anyone else has been through this. And
I'm sure.
How did you handle it?
Youth sports is a wild road. It is a wild world because you pump so much money and you see your kids' effort, and some kids get more attention than your kid, and then you get fueled up. But then when your in-laws do it and you have no control over it, that's a tough spot to be in too. So, you know, sports families become your friends and their kids become pseudo kids if they're over at your house all the time. So you don't want them feeling badly.
Got this text from Nathan. He said, this is not a three strike situation. Real trauma on kids with this one. It's one and done. Tell them you'll have your son FaceTime them when it's over to recap the game.
Yes. And that'll hit them. That'll be, and then they'll see it on the kid's face. Like, why can't you come? Because you can't behave. You are an adult. You need to behave.